Acts 4, verse 23 to 31, which is on page 1081 of the Church Bibles. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate meet together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you have anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Thank you, Beck. What's up, Seven? You guys doing all right? Big weekend? Anyone go to a wedding? I did. It was good. I'm wondering if you've got like a hero. A hero or just someone you look up to. Maybe it's a celebrity. Maybe someone with a brilliant mind. Maybe one of the ministers at St. Paul's. Like a writer or an inventor. Maybe one of your favorite musicians. Imagine if you got to meet that person. Maybe this has already happened for you. Or maybe you're like my friend in high school who stalked Hanson. Remember, like, Mbop? And she camped outside their place in America until they came out and stole something from their garden. Just to meet her hero, these people that she'd built up. It was Hanson, which is weird. Maybe you've had an opportunity to meet your hero or someone that you really respect, but for most of us, we haven't. But imagine if that person called and said, "We're hanging out today." Imagine that. For me, at the moment, it's probably Pharrell Williams. You know, the "because I'm happy." That guy is a genius. Genius songwriter, brilliant creative mind, probably the coolest person on the planet. Imagine if he called me up and was like, "It might seem crazy what I'm about to say, but I want to hang out with you today, Josh." I think I'd be like, "How did you get this number?" But I'll be like, "Yes, I get to hang out with Pharrell." I'd probably take him down to the tuck shop, best food in the hills. And for me, because I look up to him, I want to know everything about this guy. What is he thinking? What's his family like? What does he think about Australia? How do you write a song? Who are you working with next? What does music look like in the next 5 years? I want to know this guy's mind. I want to know everything. See, when you get a chance to talk to someone you're completely awestruck by, you want to ask them everything because chances are they've got an insight to life that you want to hear about. And possibly they've got an insight to your life, which might mean change for the better. When you're awestruck by someone, you want to know their mind. I'm awestruck by like construction, buildings, landmarks. It blows my mind. I want to sit down with the person who's doing the rail line. Like, first question, like, honestly, when will this be finished? Like, you can let me know. It's okay. But secondly, like, how do you start something like that? All the materials, all the people, all the planning, it blows me away. I'm awestruck. I want to sit down with this person and know, how does your mind work? How would you respond to meeting someone you were completely awestruck by? If you're new here, or maybe you missed last week, we as a church have a vision, a written vision statement. It's up the back as you walk in. You can check it out. This was written about 12 years ago by the staff here at the time. And what we believe is that this is what God wants for this church. and finding out what his heart is in the Bible, the vision statement is like God's thumbprint. What kind of church does he want us to be? What kind of people does he want us to be? Like if someone worked into your workplace and wanted to know what you're all about, a vision statement would make things clear about what you're trying to achieve and why. For example, one of the visions for Apple, probably own a phone by them, Apple is committed to bringing the best personal computing experience to students, educators, creative professionals, and consumers around the world through its innovative hardware, software, and internet offerings. That's their vision. You know what they're about. And so for the next 6 weeks here at church, we're looking at our vision. It's up the back. We're in small groups looking at our vision. Even in our own times with God, we want to know what are the steps forward for our church. And we want to do it together. Last week, we looked at what it would look like if we were a church that was passionate about Jesus and people. And John opened this up and showed us the goodness of God, which is the starting place for us to be passionate about Jesus and people. And tonight, we're looking at the second phrase of our vision. And this is what it says. So awestruck by him, we prayerfully seek his mind on everything. So awestruck by him, we prayerfully seek his mind on everything. Really quickly, I want to answer three questions. Who is he? What is prayer? And how do we pray? Firstly, who is he? He is Jesus. Secondly, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God, plain and simple. Just like any relationship we have, it's based off communication. And prayer is the way that we communicate with God. And thirdly, how do we pray? I heard this story of a lady from Asia who was known as the prayer warrior. It's a pretty cool title. And she was so well known for the way she prayed. She would pray hours on end every day and see answers to prayer. That's why she was called the prayer warrior. And she was so well known that a conference in America through a church decided to get her over, to fly her over all the way to America just so she could teach them about prayer. How do you pray? How can we pray better? And so they flew her over, spent all the money to get her over there, and the room was packed, people were excited about, yeah, let's learn how to pray. And she walks up on stage, and she says, you invited me here to teach you how to pray. And then she paused, and she said, open your mouth and speak. And then she left the stage. Does it make sense that prayer is simple? Prayer is simple. Prayer is one of the most simple things God has given us to relate to him. We don't have to be in a church. We don't even have to physically speak the words. It can be done together, completely by ourselves. Jesus once said that this is how you should pray. And then he went on with the Lord's Prayer. But it's cool that he didn't actually say this is what to pray. He just said this is how to pray. And so it's simple. I loved what Karen said in the video. The point of us praying and seeking Jesus' mind on things is because we know that without him, we tend to stuff things up. We're not perfect. But when we seek Jesus, we find a man that was so perfect. Not just how he acted, but how he treated people, the respect he gave people, even people who were against him. He always had an answer for people, and it was always an answer they weren't expecting. When my best mate Luke Davey got married last year, he's not much of like a speaker, but you have to speak because it's your wedding. And he spoke and said thank you to everyone. And then at the end, he's like, I've got one bit of advice, and my only advice to people is to find out who Jesus is. He didn't say you should go to church or make sure you're friends with a Christian or even like read an amazing vision statement, because these things, they're not perfect. They have faults. The only thing he said was find out who Jesus is, because once you do that, that's when you start to open your eyes of a life that is different to anyone else who has walked this earth. He was God. He is God, but he made himself one of us. He made himself human. He walked with us and he was ridiculed and murdered by us, all for the purpose of giving us a chance to be in relationship with God once again. When that sinks in, that's when the awe begins. And that awe leads us to want to know his mind on everything. Prayer is more than just opening your mouth to God. It's opening your heart to God. So you're probably wondering, well, what would it look like to prayerfully seek his mind on everything? Everything. Does that mean when we're driving into the towers or the shops, you pray for a car park or pray about which toothpaste to use or pray which shoes should I wear today? Is that what it means by pray everything? Seek his mind on everything? I think that what this is getting at is to simply walk with Jesus in everything. And not just things we need. We have the tendency to do like shopping list prayers. Dear Lord, I want a Ferrari. I want a girlfriend. I want more Instagram followers. Anyone prayed something like that before? Maybe not that extreme. We tend to do shopping list prayers, but this is a deep, intimate relationship with the God that created the world. Remember that picture of sitting with your hero, having access to someone you admire. But this is the God of the universe, and he wants us to talk to him. So to prayerfully seek his mind on everything isn't just prayer, because he's revealed himself in the Bible. If you want to know his opinion on homeless people, those less fortunate, check it out. It's in the Bible. And then pray that he would give you the same heart for those people. Then get ready to get involved, because when we pray, he answers. Just like Karen said, Lord, who would you want me to talk to today? And then you find yourself in a conversation you know can only be from God. You know, often when we pray, it's because we want to justify something we simply want. Have you ever done that? And we want to make sure it's okay with God that we go down that path. And it's funny, we could say, yeah, well, I prayed about it and he didn't say anything, so I thought it was okay. It's not my fault. No, this type of prayer changes your attitude from what can I get away with to how can I get out of the way. It changes from what can I get away with to how can I get out of the way? Like Karen was saying, our heart should be that we know that God has a good and perfect plan for us, and we want to know what that is. And we don't want our sin to get in the way of that. So what might it look like in your life to prayerfully seek his mind on everything? I'm going to share a story with you. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this, but it's good to share my life with you. It's a story of my first kiss. It's going to get hot. Now, I was a bit of an early starter. I was 23, and I was in New Zealand. You got to understand that I wasn't really into like relationships much. I was too busy playing Nintendo and practicing my yo-yo tricks. But I met this girl in New Zealand, and we're hanging out and stuff, and then one night she was like, I want to kiss you. And I was like, in my head, I was like, whoa. This is my first kiss. This is big time. Like, Hollywood movies have been made around this moment. I don't want to stuff this up. She wants to kiss. What do I say? I looked at her. I said, can I go pray about this? Now, some of you are probably thinking, whoa, super Christian. And some of you are thinking like, whoa, mood killer. And you're probably both right. I got to tell you that at that point in my life, I was so fearful that I would do the wrong thing, that I would get in the way of things. That I went to the extreme. Looking back on it, there were some things that God just wanted me to take steps forward and stop second-guessing him or even myself. But to seek his mind on everything It means to humble ourselves and know that we don't know what the right thing is sometimes. He just wants that relationship. And the simple message, the simple challenge from this message could be just to pray more. Just go and pray more. Simple as that. But it would be missing the point. I would say that the challenge from this message should be to get to know Jesus more. Because if you do that, you'll be so awestruck by this man that your only response would be to prayerfully seek his mind on everything. I love this quote from a preacher called Smith Wigglesworth. Best name ever. Someone once asked him, well, how long do you pray for? How long should I pray for? He said, I never pray for more than 30 minutes. But I never go 30 minutes without praying. I love that idea of just constantly in relationship with God. Constantly in relationship, whether that's verbally speaking to him or just having him in your mind and your heart as you go throughout the day. And I want to paint a picture of what it would look like if we as a church prayerfully seek Jesus' mind on everything. We read that verse before from Acts 4. And basically the two apostles, Peter and John, went back to the people. They had a problem. And what they did was they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And what was the result? After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now that seems like a bit of a nuts picture. But if you read on after that, look at what happened. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything. God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy people among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Are you getting a picture in your head of what seeking Jesus' mind might look like? Does it make sense that we don't seek it just to know what he thinks and go on with our lives? No, we seek it so that he might change our heart and it would lead us to action. I want to say, if you're here and you're not even sure about God, whether you believe in him or not, maybe you've been burnt by the church before, maybe you've met Christians who judged you. Is it possible, though, that this picture of community is still attractive to you? That there would be a community of people that are so other people focused? That even those who have worked hard, saved up, been wise with their money, been in a position to buy a house, would feel led to simply give it up so that there would be no needy people among them? That's a community that I want to be a part of. Friends, if that's a picture of what it would look like if this church was so awestruck by Jesus, we prayerfully seeked his mind on everything, then I'm in. Because I know that when I'm in need, you've got my back. And that you know when you're in need that I've got your back. That is a community that I want to be involved in. Imagine a church that did this. What would it look like? It might look like, I don't know if you've heard of the International House of Prayer that started in Kansas City. It's a church that goes 24/7. Like, quite literally, they have people praying all day and all night. People come in and out and pray for their city, pray for their friends, seeking God's mind. Or maybe it might look like a friend of mine who were going to start a church in Sydney, but spent a whole year beforehand praying and fasting, seeking God's mind before they even made one step. Or another guy I know who plants churches overseas, someone asked him, what's your process for starting a church? Because he started hundreds overseas. And he said the first thing that he does is him and his wife and the team, they just pray for months and months. They pray, they seek God before taking even one step in that direction. So I wonder what it might look like for us if this was our heart, if we took this vision seriously. Imagine if those 6 a.m. prayer meetings that happen here every morning had all of us. Imagine if it had all of 5 and all of 10 and all of 8. This building would be way too small for that kind of meeting. But imagine if we rocked up. Imagine if there was 100 people every morning here praying for the day before you go to work, before you go to uni. You could have had that extra half an hour or hour's sleep, but imagine if we got together every morning at this church and joined those who have already been doing it for I don't even know how long. We have a youth camp coming up, Impact, in January. And during the whole week, people are praying, like nonstop. There's parents and leaders that are praying for this camp. So no wonder that God does incredible things on this camp every year. What might it look like for your life? What if every time someone had something go on in their life, your first response was to pray to God, to seek Him and ask for that peace? What if every time something good happened during the day, your first response was to thank God in prayer? What if every time something incredible happened in your life, you gave the thanks to God for providing it? What if we as a church were constantly in the Bible seeking what Jesus' thoughts were on things? Not so that we can have more information about stuff, but so we can transform our community into the most loving group of people this world has ever seen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is about prayer, and it's in Philippians 4. And it says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." I love that. Don't be anxious about anything, but give it to God in prayer, always with thanksgiving. Would that be our heart and the heart of this church? No matter what's going on, whether it's good or bad, that we would seek Him, give Him the thanks, so that we would know His mind on everything. Friends, would that be our heart? Would that be the heart of this church? That we would be so awestruck by Him that we prayerfully seek His mind on everything. I want to give us an opportunity to put this into practice. I don't know whether you've prayed before, or whether you've prayed a prayer like we've heard already from the stage, where you start off by telling God who He is and what He's done. Because you know that He's already done a bunch of stuff in your life. The fact that you're here today is a grace of God. So I'm going to give us a minute just by ourselves to pray. Could be your first time. You might have prayed 1,000 times already today, but pray that we would be this people. And like we read in Acts, that God would shake this place. And in response, there would be no needy people, because we're providing for people out of our own things that God has given us. Imagine a church like that. So I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes, and where you are, just take a minute. The band's going to play behind us, but just pray to God. And if you don't know how to do it, open your mind and speak. You don't have to use words verbally, but just meet God where you are and just talk to Him. Take this minute. Lord, you are so good to us. We've been so blessed in this life. We know that other Christians, other churches in this world don't have the things that we have, the blessings that you bless us with. They don't even have safety from meeting together. But Lord, I pray that we wouldn't take this for granted, but we would respond by giving you thanks. And we know that you've worked in the past. We know that you continue to work. And every little thing that we have, every little creation that we see is from you. Lord, as we go out and we see the stars in the sky, you place them there. And they're in your order. And Lord, the moon, as it shines, it's because you have placed it there to give us light for the night. Lord, you've given us rest as we go home and we think about this week, but we know that we have a bed to sleep in. This is something you provided for us, and you're a God who loves rest. Lord, we look around us and there's friendships and relationships that you've graced us with as well. Every little thing in this life is from you. And I pray that as a church, we will be so thankful. And we would come to you for everything, that we would seek your mind. If ever we have anxieties or worry, we know that we can come to you because you care for us. Whenever there's a big decision in our life, would you be the first person we come to? And throughout our day, would we be constantly thinking about what your will is, your perfect and good will? Because we know that that will bring life. And finally, Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus, who made it possible that we can come and talk to you, because he made it possible that we would be in this relationship with you. Amen.